Dom.
He just finished working another Bruins win, their fourth in a row over the defending Stanley Cup champs, the Penguins, on the full NBC network today. How are you, Pierre?
Good, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. We'll get to your game and a whole lot of afternoon action. There's the Islanders leading the Flyers 1-0. A lot of games right about now, and we'll get to all of it. But let's start with the Habs and how this might psychologically give them some kind of much-needed boost at this point.
Well, it's great. I mean, anytime you get good players back, it helps you a lot, and it boosts your psyche. There's no question. Carey's got to come up with some timely saves. I don't think goaltending was the issue for the Canadiens when he was out. I think limited offense was part of the issue. So Carey can't score, but maybe just having him there will help strengthen the resolve of the team. But they need guys to start scoring. Whether you are Max Pacioretty, whether you're Brendan Gallagher, whether you're Jonathan Drouin, whether you're Thomas Plekanec, it doesn't matter. Paul Byron's been their best offensive player this year. And Paul Byron would tell you himself that he is a higher-end role player who's really not there for offense. So they got to find their star player scoring. And if they don't, then it doesn't matter who's back.
We decided to split them up and all for the right reasons. And maybe, you know, there's going to be some better chemistry going forward with other players. And we go from that. But as I said, you know, we're coaches, you know, and we try things that most of the time are discussed and educated the decision, but it doesn't guarantee that it's always going to work.
Julien on once again splitting up Drouin, Pacioretty, and Galchenyuk, saying he doesn't know why it just didn't work and they have to make a change. So Pacioretty is back with Deneau for the game tomorrow, and it'll be Drouin, Galchenyuk, and Paul Byron tomorrow night against Buffalo.
Well, they need Galchenyuk and Drouin scoring, and one of the things you do is you put an energy guy like Paul. Paul's been fantastic. I give Larry Carrier a lot of credit there. He had the inside information from his time in Buffalo, and Paul was picked up by them, and obviously he knew him from when Calgary put him on waivers. But that's a smart move. Now, people will say, oh, he's meddling with his lines. He has to. They're not getting any production. So you got to find solutions to problems, and the problem is they're not scoring, so you try to find solutions.
Sometimes you don't have those answers. You know, you try it, and you hope that it'll work. You know, they're three of our best forwards, and say if they can get a little bit of chemistry, and you know, I don't have the answer. You know, all I know is I tried.
All right, that sounds like a little bit of a plea for help.
It is.
You know what
it
I mean?
Is.
Like,
but I've been crying out to you since the summer about this. Our first show, I said unless they're in the top five in the league in a power play, they're not going to score enough. I told you that.
Yeah, and
so
not only not only are they not top five, they're actually much closer to the bottom on the power play.
And where are they in the standings?
That says a lot. But the thing is, I mean, that's some blind faith going in. Like, okay, you figure Price is healthy, he'll win games that are tight, and their special teams will be decent. But it's Carey Price wasn't good. Their special teams were bad, and by the way, they can't score, but which we already knew.
Right. Well, I'm a little bit like Carey. I think it was his soundbite where he's saying, look, there's a long way to go here. I agree with that. But now what happens, just so you understand, is from 20 to 30, those 10 games fly by. They do, because you have holiday seasons. It flies by because you lose perspective a little bit because there's so many other things going around hockey besides hockey. Holiday seasons in particular. So these 10 games go by unbelievably fast. And before you know it, you're at the halfway point of the season. And I will tell you this, as I've told you ever since you and I started, my theory is if you're double digits out by the All-Star break, you are not making the playoffs. So they got to find a way to keep it to seven or less, because I think if they go seven or more out, they're not going to make it.
Well, and it's not just offense, but it's I know it sounds like a broken record, but it's offense down the middle. I don't know how you can go into a season expecting Thomas Plekanec at 35 years of age, who barely hit 10 last season, to play better simply because he said he needs to play better. You know, as an example of the other issues down the middle of the ice are fairly obvious. Rod, you're shaking your head.
Well,
here.
I'm just like the previous regime talked about 3 goals was the magic number. And sure, that makes a lot of sense. And the Canadians, when they've gotten to 3 goals the last couple of years, they win. They were 38-5 last year when they get the 3 goals. That's admirable. But it looks like they're going to get to three goals about less than a third of the time in a league where, Pierre, goals are up across the entire NHL. Slashing penalties are up. Power plays are up. There's more offense than we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. And it's just, I just shake my head at the situation, the predicament that we find ourselves in.
You know, what else is up? And I was talking to an NHL official about this today before I did the Bruins game. Shots on goal are up unbelievably, not just a little bit, like not skewed to one or two per game. They're up substantially. So usually more shots lead to more opportunities, whether it be from rebounds, deflections, second chance opportunities, whatever you have to look at. But no, that's an issue. And I listen, every Mitch said the best line of all, you don't want to beat a dead horse here. The truth of the matter is, like Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are. And this team is what its record is right now. They're going to have to get some help for the coach. They have to. This team's not good enough as it's built right now. They're not.
Well, we've been talking a lot about special teams because that's where the goals are going to come from if they're going to get those goals. And Pierre, Shea Weber took a therapy day today. He has not played the last two games. When they're on the power play, that's a crater. Is there any way to overcome the loss of a point shot like Weber when your power play's already struggling and then you take a guy out that teams key in on?
Who's your best next shooter? And I would say it's probably Jonathan Drouin, I would say. I don't know that Petrie should be, but I just don't know if he's got the confidence to be there. So you may want to think about exploring putting Jonathan Drouin on the back end on the power play, just because if people don't respect his shot after he gets one or two on goal, they will, because he can shoot the puck. He can absolutely bring the heat.
Problem right now is, as Mitch reported yesterday, he's dealing with some kind of injury that we believe might be to that area of his body that inhibits him from shooting.
Yeah, fair point. And that's a good catch and a good point. And you're asking me a question, and I'm just trying to tell you there's not a lot of answers right now. But that would be one if, in fact, he were healthy. I don't know, but I'm trusting Mitch Gall on that. He's not going to put that out there if it's not accurate.
And the thing about Petrie is he forces it a lot. Like he's, you know, unless he's wide open, he a lot of his shots don't get through.
There are a lot of guys in the league like that because there's such a focus on shot blocking, and players have become so much better at getting in the lane. And it used to be a long time ago, you would play body on body because the message would be don't let that guy beat you to the net, stay between him and the net. Now most of the teaching is you stay body on stick, you take away the lane, don't worry about his body, stay body on stick and stay in the lane, and he's not going to get it to the net. So that's what a lot of people do.
See, when you're talking about those point shots, I agree, Drouin healthy, he'd be an option. Petrie, we've seen him there, hasn't really worked. Galchenyuk may be an option, he can shoot the puck all right. I think then we're getting into other guys. Maybe Brennan Morrow could be a guy like that. Joe Morrow. Joe Morrow.
Yeah. Flashback.
Going back in time. Joe Morrow could be a guy like that. Or even if they look at the Laval Rocket, I know Eric Jelina has a bomb.
Oh, he can't play.
But he can't play 5-on-5. So can you bring up a guy and just play him for power play situations and limited ice like they did with Marc-Andre Bergeron back in the day? But
well, yeah, I'm not sure that's the right recipe either, because you never know if you're going to get two or three or five power play chances per game and you're eating up a roster spot. What I watched the Bruins doing today, the Bruins played 11 forwards and 7 defense because they weren't sure on Torrey Krug's injury, and they put a young man in by the name of Matty Grizzlick, who's a tremendous young talent, Boston kid, grew up in Charlestown, same hometown as Jimmy VC. He got his first career goal tonight after having his first career point the other night against the New Jersey Devils. So they play him a little deeper in the lineup. But he's an offensive force. That's what he is. He's just an offensive player. And they got some good stuff out of him today. He scored a huge goal in a game that was won by one goal.
Carried right back along, and it is handled by McAvoy. McAvoy, just 19 years of age, wheels, and handed one. Score! What a shot by Corrali! 2-0!
I remember Pierre going on, even before, when was the year they had the three first-round picks at that draft, and you start, hey, watch out for all the young players on the Bruins. And that's the difference when a lot of fans look at the Canadiens compared to a lot of other teams, especially some they have to battle with, is hope down the road. Young talent, emerging young talent that you could project is going to be a meaningful NHL player. And
I told you three teams, Tampa, Philadelphia, and Boston.
Right, and Boston beat Pittsburgh. They're now 4 in a row for the Bruins.
Yeah, Yeah, and, you know, everybody's looking at Philly and they're struggling a little bit. Remember I told you this. They're going to be a dynamo. They're not going to be a little bit good. They're going to be really good. They have unbelievable assets. They really do. Ronnie Hexall and the amateur scouts there have done a good job. If there's been one foible, one drop ball, it's when they traded Braden Schenn for Yuri Laterra. That was a bogey. That was a bad deal.
Yeah, so was dealing Sergei Bobrovsky. Right?
Yeah, that was, I don't think Ronnie, did Ronnie do that?
No, that was a while ago, right?
Yeah, that was done before Ronnie. But I would just tell you, I think it was. But I mean, just going off the top of my head, their team is positioned to do unbelievably well.
They just need goaltending. They rely on goaltending a lot. And by the way, it's 2-2, the Islanders and Philly. But speaking of goaltending, what's been going on with Matt Murray? Is this just a natural regression after guy comes in and it feels like he's on top of the world?
Well, I thought in the first period, if he wasn't stellar in the first period today, Pittsburgh would have been down 4 or 5-0. That guy was unbelievable. Plus, he had a crossbar hit against him. I don't think it's so much the goaltending. I think it's where the chances are coming from. And their penalty killing's been dreadful. The last 5 or 6 games, their penalty killing's been dreadful. He's part of that, obviously. But I think more than that, it's no Bonino, no Cullen, no Kunitz. These are guys that were really important for their penalty kill and the grinding situations that you have to play through. And there's one other thing. The last 2 years, these guys have played a lot of hockey, including the World Cup. So it's normal that over the course of an 82-game schedule, they'd hit a bit of a slide, and I'm not surprised.
So 7 days ago, we were at the Windsor right now, speaking to you following the NHL GM meetings. And I'm curious, when GMs get together, now we didn't see any moves last weekend, but is it possible that discussions were made or had, and then maybe a GM needs time and he wants to consult with his brain trust or he wants to consult with his owner, and then 7 to 10 days after the fact, we could see something erupt?
I don't know. Everybody likes to play that, Rod. I don't know the answer to that because I wasn't in those conversations, but there's definitely something to that in terms of the conversations that are had. There's no question about that.
Well, Torrey Mitchell was dealt yesterday right after we spoke to Los Angeles, and they get their Dwight King pick back, right? If they make the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, I was just going to say. But the other thing is they put Brooks Lake on waivers. What they're trying to do is make their team quicker. And I think by adding Torrey, they've made their team quicker. I don't know if this has been brought up on your radio station today or not, but one of the tie-ins there is character and the knowledge of character. And Robbie Blake was with Torrey Mitchell when Torrey broke in San Jose. Robbie was at the end of his career. Torrey was at the start of his career. And Torrey had some pretty significant injuries in those days. And I think Rob was really impressed with the character that Torrey showed in terms of coming back.
Yeah, it's always who you know, huh? Always.
It's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. And when you evaluate trades, sometimes you have to look at that. You know, I don't believe you have Paul Byron in Montreal if Larry Carrier is not working there. I just don't believe that. And then maybe you do, but I don't think so.
All right. What do you make of the waiver pickups by the two teams who both lost their players to the other guy, Tampa and Ottawa?
You'd have to inform me on those.
Well, Gabriel Dumont was claimed by Ottawa, and they waived Delmonico, and Tampa grabbed Delmonico.
Yeah, Di Domenico, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Dumont.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's the restaurant, Mitch.
Delmonico? No, it's like canned beans or something.
Right? Yeah. Anyways, Guy Boucher coached Gabriel Dumont in junior. So he's known him for a long time. And he likes having role players. He likes veteran players. That's just Guy Boucher's thing. He likes older guys, and he likes grinding guys. That's why Nate Thompson's there. That's why Pyatt's there. J.G. Pageau's there. I mean, Zach Smith, you can look at it. They've added another one. In terms of DiDomenico, he's a pure scorer. Now, in Tampa, they've got a little bit of wiggle room because they've got so much high-end offense. Potentially, DiDomenico goes in there as a specialist and scores some goals as a depth scorer. And they're just trying to fine-tune their roster. But DiDomenico's a scorer. That's what he is. He's a pure scorer.
I would be relatively confident, and I say relatively because it's not guaranteed, but Evander Kane, in my mind, is more likely to be traded than kept.
I was talking with the guys early in the show. I can't remember the last time the Canadiens were about to play the Sabres, and there weren't rumors about Evander Kane. They're at home to Edmonton tonight before they come in here. And again, he's a player you've always been bullish on, no matter the circumstance, on or off the ice.
No, I think you just have to know how to cultivate him the proper way, away from the rink. On the ice, I think he's fine. I'm pretty confident with what Bobby just said. There's just too much smoke around the player. I hate to speculate. I like Evander so much. I really do. I've known him a long time, and I really like him a lot. I know some people, you know, don't choose to see it my way, but I just think there's a way to relate with different people. I would imagine, Mitch, that he will be moved, and I think, you know, the way Buffalo's going, they want to try to get some young assets. I don't think it'll be for established players. I think it'll be for prospects and picks.
What would you want to see tomorrow night from the Montreal Canadiens against the Sabres, regardless what Buffalo does tonight?
Well, quick strike. Get after them early. Get the fans behind you and get quick strike offense and just stabilize games. I mean, you know, Carey Price is coming back in goal. You've all said the right things. Oh, he's going to give us confidence. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. So help him out. Go out and do something to help him. Get your best players to be your best players.
Have a great weekend. Thanks as always. Again, happy Thanksgiving to the clan down there, and we'll do it again on Monday.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. Enjoy the Grey Cup. Happy weekend.
You look how tight the middle of the pack is right now, and, you know, string some wins together, we're right there. So we know these games are huge, especially against the division games, so or division teams. So we're going to come out hard. We're prepared. We're ready for it, and we're hungry for it.
Andrew Shaw, when we come back, chance to win tickets to see the best of Pink Floyd at Place des Arts next week.
Melnick in the afternoon is brought to